Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your precious promises. Lord, they mean the world to us when life gets hard, life gets tough, or when life gets very discouraging. We thank you that you are with us and that your goodness is running after us. We thank you for just being in your hands. Lord, there's no better place to be. And so, Lord, let's pray that you would just keep your hands upon us and bless us. Lord, may your favor shine upon us. And Lord, and show us how strong and mighty you are in days to come. So Lord, we stand thankful. We stand in praise to you for who you are. And Lord, I just pray for a healing for our church. For those going through things, Lord, I pray for just an inward healing and a confidence that God's going to help me through this. God's going to do amazing things in days to come. And so, Lord, we pray that over each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So glad you're here. Turn your Bibles to Titus 2, Titus chapter 2. And the first service was a little emotional. That's why these hankies are up here. And so we won't get that emotional the second service. All right. So thank you guys for being here. If you're new here with us, please fill out a little visitor's card, connection card there. I'd love to have record of your visit. We want to give you a gift as well at our connection center if you haven't already got one. And prayer requests on the back of that. And so again, we have a lot of prayer requests going on. Back side of both sheets, small font is full. With stuff going on in our church. So thank you guys for praying. Thank you for sharing. Sometimes it's just hard to share what's going on too. So thank you for doing that, all right? So Titus chapter 2, we're going to continue our series on standing out, being a standout Christian, a standout church. God wants standout leaders, amen, standout families. And so we're going to look at today about being a standout citizen. And so Paul is kind of seeing this flow from church to the community now, right? And so like when the church gets right, it impacts the community. Does that make sense? And so whenever there was a revival in church history, the impact of the city was huge, right? So police officers were like, hey, we got no crime. What are we going to do? Right? And so people were just, it's amazing when God moves. Amen. Things just tend to cease. And so that's what I've been praying for, our prayer team's been praying for several years, that God just moves one more time, amen? He can do it again. Don't you love to see history repeat itself? But when God moves, so that's what we need, all right? And so we're going to look at just two verses today because it's Super Bowl Sunday and we know who's going to win. And it's not the Packers, okay? We know. So I know we got a Packers fan right here. That's why I said that. All right, and it's not the Colts either. You know, we're always disappointed. And so this is going to be a standout year. Many of you guys may not know, but there's 40 presidential elections in the world this year. 40. That's like history's top number. Just in going on in the world. And so that's one of us, one of those numbers is us, right? And so a lot of transition, a lot of change going on in the world of leadership. And so we're going to see what takes place after 2024. But also amazing this year is too is the solar eclipse coming in April the 8th. And so schools are like shutting down. The city's throwing a big thing here. People are going to come from all over just to watch this 4-minute dark period of time. That's only going to happen, the next time it's going to happen is like 200 years, right? And so it's going to be a standout year. Then this summer, they got the Summer Olympics going on, and so it's going to be a neat year coming up. And so on April the 8th, we have some plans for that day, for a solar eclipse day, and so we want to let you guys know about that in days to come, all right? So let's read these verses here. There's just two. I think I can see that without my glasses, all right? Paul says, remind the people to be subject to their rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. And so he's given us the recipe for being a standout citizen. And so the issue of their day was, when you study church history, Rome was obviously the Roman Empire, and it's kind of big, and Nero was the emperor, and he hated Christians. And so the issue of the day was, how do we as Christians live with a government that is so hateful towards us? How do we live when government is corrupt, as it was? How do we respond? Should we be rebellious? Should we be obedient? How should we live under that? Right? And that's a tough issue, right? It's a tough issue. And so Paul is writing them, even Peter writes this in 1 Peter 2. He tells Christians, hey, it's going to be easier for us if we just do these simple things for the Lord's sake, he says in 1 Peter 2, but for the gospel's sake as well, right? And so we're going to walk through these six things here that Paul lays out. So today's message is very, very practical. Does that make sense? Nothing hard about this. It's just very practical. I'm just going to hit home, I'm sure, for all of us, all right? And so let's look at number one here. To be a standout citizen, he says, first of all, we need to be a people who are subject to those over you. Now, you're probably thinking, well, I took the subject of government in high school, but now I have to be subject to them, right? And so this word simply means a willingness to come under someone's authority that's over you, to be subject, to come under, right? And so Paul says in Romans 13 that God has established those authorities over us, right? And they are to do that for our good. That makes sense? They're to put good policies in place to promote things that are good. All right? And so we have to be, as citizens, even though we're Christians and we belong to the heavenly land, we're still here on earth. And so to make the gospel attractive, even to government and even to our community, we need to be willing to come under those different kinds of authorities because God has put them there for us, all right? So this also means a recognition of those people, who they are and what they represent, and we know that God has established that, and so we need to just come under. It's also good recognition, too, sometimes when we realize, you know, I'm not the mayor, I'm not the governor, I'm not the president, right? Because I don't want that job. Right? Nobody does. Right? And so it's like, hey, you know, I'm willing to come under to make their life a little bit easier. And so that's what Paul's argument was. If you're a good citizen, you got nothing to worry about. Right? If you're being rebellious and not doing what's good, then you got something to worry about. Right? And so, but as long as we're subject to that authority and recognize, hey, where it's really coming from, God has established this authority. Hey, I'm going to just come under that. I'm going to willingly do that. And so Paul even says in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for those over you, right? To intercede for them. Pray for the peace of your city, your community, your state, your country, your nation. And so, you know, our country needs our prayers. Our leaders, our military, our governors. There's a lot of things going on. And so whenever there's high-tension moments, remember this, whenever there's high-tension moments going on, there is a spiritual battle behind the scenes. You follow me? And so we need to be in prayer for our country. And so think about this. Was Jesus subject to earthly leaders while he was here? Was he subject to Herod and Pilate? Did he undermine any of their plans? I mean, Jesus, think about it. Jesus could have just touched Pilate with his pinky, and he could have been gone. You know what I mean? He's the creator, right? He has the authority over death, And so, but he didn't. He goes, I'm willing to come under whatever you say, Pilate. You know? And he tried to win Pilate's heart to himself through that moment. And so Jesus is our example when it comes to submitting to God-given authorities over us. I mean, think about this. Jesus gave them the authority, and now he's under that. He's heaven's king, right? And so here's the other thought, too. When we pray for our leaders, it's amazing how you feel your feelings change toward them. Maybe you may not even like the leaders that are over you, but when you pray for them, it's like, you know what? Things are better. That anger I had, that frustration I had, it's gone. Because I'm praying for them, right? We appreciate it when people pray for us, right? And so when we pray for them, even for our enemies, Jesus says, pray for your enemies, right? Pray that God does good to them and blesses them. They're like, Andy, that's hard. They're like, I know it's hard, right? Every command of the Bible isn't always easy, right? And so we got to do those tough ones too. Secondly, be obedient as much as possible. And we're going to explain what that means. So it's not only a willingness to come under, but it's also a willing recognition to go along with their policies and so forth. That doesn't mean you can't respond to things. You have the right to share your voice and offer your opinion, right? And so does that mean like I got to obey speed signs and traffic signs? Yes. Somebody says yes. Why? Because it's for everybody's safety. Right? If everybody's safety, that's what we're all about. Nobody wants to get hurt, right? So it's for everybody's safety. It's for our good. And so hospital policies, hey, we got to go along with those. Sometimes I don't necessarily like them, but you know what? I got to go with them, right? It's for everybody's safety, right? And for everybody's health that's involved. It's like, well, that's why we have these protocols. Your school policies, may not always agree with those. Right? Company protocols, etc. It's like, how, as much as possible, I need to be obedient to that, right? And so, paying my taxes, should I pay taxes? The answer is yes, Romans 13, right? And so, even though you write hating that check, God's like, hey, that's my kid right there. Amen. We're obeying, all right? And so, what about when policies don't align with God's values or your personal values, right? And so how should I respond to that? And so you see the apostles being flogged in Acts chapter 4 for preaching Jesus. And the leaders are like, don't preach in his name again. And they were like, you know what? That's not going to happen. You know, we have to submit to a higher authority, and that's Jesus himself. And so we're going to continue to preach that name, regardless of what you say. And so that's what they disagreed on, and they continued to spread the gospel and seeing people's lives changed. All right? And so if there's a company policy you don't like or whatever, it's like, well, just write a letter to them. Tell them why you don't agree. That makes sense? You have the right to do that. That makes sense? But do it in a manner that's considerable and respectful, as we're going to see just a little bit. All right? Think about, we saw Roe versus Wade overturned a couple years ago. 50 years in the making. 1973, it was ran through. 50 years later, we've been praying, gently responding, hey, this needs to stop. Why? Because we value that child's life. All right? We value that child's life. Every person created in this world has a purpose, right? And so we want to promote life, all right? And so William Wilberforce, who was in Great Britain, he was fighting against slavery, right? It took him like 11 or 12 years to get that passed as he was fighting in Parliament. But he was respectful. He was considerate. He kept putting it forth, and they were like, not now, Wilbur. Not now. We got bigger things at stake. And he's like, what's bigger than that, right? And so, but he was patiently waiting for and being willing to obey, just like, you know, even though the fight was in him, it's like, I can't wait for this to end. But he finally saw it come to pass, right? And so then it hit America, and then Abraham Lincoln passed that law, and then our nation went to war over that. It's like, wow. It's a big moment in our history. And so, thirdly here, be ready to do whatever is good. This is an easy one. Now think about this. Wherever you happen to be at in your life, your week, if there's an opportunity to do good, should you do it? Be ready to do whatever is good, right? Boy Scout motto, be prepared, right? Be ready to do whatever is good. Be kind, be helpful. Somebody needs help with their groceries or helping stuff. You know, people tell me, it's like, hey, can you help on the top shelf up there? You're kind of tall. It's like, no, I'm not going to help you. You know, get a ladder. You know what I mean? Should I say that? No, right? It's like God made me tall a little bit, 6 foot, you know, and it's like little long arms. Like, I can grab that for you. And not everybody is on the same level there on height, right? And so we make fun of short people. No, I won't go there. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. And so, but be ready to do whatever is good, all right? It's awesome to see people just naturally, randomly, just pick up things and just throw them in the trash. You know what I mean? It's like it's everybody's responsibility. Just do whatever is good, right? Be ready for that. Fire station needs help, whatever. Just be responsible. Fourthly, be respectful to those as well. Be respectful to them. Slander no one. And so if we show a proper attitude of respect to everyone, now think about this. If we just do that to everyone, then it'll be natural to do it to those over or under us because we're disrespectful to everybody. That makes sense? And so, think about this. There's a guy named Mordecai who, to me, was a model example of a citizen in the Bible. And so, Mordecai was an older gentleman. He was a Jewish fellow. And so, church or Bible history, Old Testament, it's in the book of Esther. So the people of Israel were in Assyria under the reign of Xerxes, right? And so they were there, they lived there. Mordecai had a brother who passed on. He took in his brother's daughter, Esther, raised her, felt that was a family responsibility thing. Hey, just going to take her in, raise her, love her. She eventually becomes queen of the land. She was a very beautiful young lady. And then Mordecai, standing at the city gates one day, hears these two guys talking about how they're going to assassinate the king. He's like, what should I do? I don't necessarily like the guy, but responsible citizen, I care for his life, and so I'm going to turn it in. And so he turns the news in, they capture the plot, and then they reward Mordecai for that months later. It's like, wow, pretty interesting. Well, then another guy named Haman, who didn't like Mordecai, right, because of his policies, he wouldn't show respect to Haman because he was a bad character. And so Haman made the policy to the king, hey, let's just get rid of all the Jewish people in our empire. And Xerxes wrote it out in the decree, signed it with his ring, with wax, and people got to hear about it, and they were like, oh my goodness, this is not good. This is terrible news. How did this happen? Mordecai goes to Esther and says, Esther, I don't have a voice with the king, but you do. God's put you there for a purpose, and this is that moment to where you can save many people's lives. So he encouraged her to have that voice with the king, and she says, well, pray for me. Tell everybody to pray for me. So to overturn the king's decree was something very hard to do. But she gently, respectfully went in and told him and shared her heart. And he says, you know what? I didn't really like that. Let's do away with that. And she saved her people in that moment. And so what amazing citizenship that moment was between Mordecai and Esther. How do you change things, right? And so we do it in a respectful way. I mean, you're probably thinking, well, Jesus called Herod a fox, didn't he? He did. That guy's a little deceitful and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, he's like a fox. He's describing his character. That makes sense? So he wasn't slandering him. He was just being truthful about him. That makes sense? And so John the Baptist called out Herod's behavior with his took in his brother's wife, which was wrong. And so Herod's wife had him decapitated. You know, that's part of Bible history there. And so, but here's the thing about slander. Slander is to accuse with the intent to harm or to curse or treat another person with contempt. And behind it is the motive of malice, the Bible says. So malice is this inward angst towards somebody where I'm going to destroy or defame their character, even though I know it's not true, but I'm going to lie about it to undermine and discredit them because I just do not like them. And it's like, So Paul's like, slander no one, be respectful, be considerate, as we're going to see. Don't be like the evil one. Now think about this just for a moment. The evil one is called the accuser of the brethren, right? And so he likes to slander us before the Lord. His motive is malice. He does not like us. That makes sense? Why? Because we have sinned many times and we get forgiven. We get to go back to heaven. We become heaven citizens. He sinned one time, never forgiven, eternally doomed. He's like, how's that fair? I'm going to be angry with God's family then, because that's my target. And so when we slander, we're acting just like the evil one. When we're being respectful like Christ was, then we're acting just like Jesus. Okay? It's very important to understand there. And number five, be peaceable and considerate to others. Simply means just be friendly. I mean, can you talk about politics and religion in a friendly way without getting debative or argumentative or belligerent or upset? Sometimes. But yes, there's a way to do that, right? We need to be considerate. We need to listen to other people's opinions and viewpoints and so forth without getting bent out of shape, right? And so the goal is to win a friend, not to make an enemy. Amen. That makes sense? And so many times, whether it's on Facebook or social media, you see people get really upset over politics and stuff. And it's just like, hey, if we handle things in a peaceful, considerate way, the world would just be a whole lot better. We can talk about things. Make sense? And so just be willing to do that, right? Even with your family. Sometimes politics, these topics get heated. I understand that, right? And so just be gentle with things, right? Learn how to read the room and read people, right? Don't be a person who pokes the bear all the time. You know what I mean? Sometimes we want to see how they respond to things, you know, because we know they're hot spots, right? No, be peaceful and considerate to others, all right? Lastly, then, just be humble and gentle toward all men. It simply means a fair treatment of others. And so it's an attitude in the Greek called a sweet reasonableness. I like that, a sweet reasonableness. An attitude that's not about me. It doesn't hold grudges. I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt, right? It's a meekness in a spirit of gentleness like a dove, not like a roaring lion. And so Jesus says, come and learn of me, for I am humble and gentle and meek in heart. Right? Learn of me. right? You can draw more flies with honey than you can vinegar, right? My mom always used to tell me that. My grandparents, it's like, hey, just be a person who oozes honey out, right? And you can draw more people. People ought to be saying, you know, that person is so delightful and so pleasant to be around. I would love to hear more of what they have to say. Huh. Make the gospel attractive, right? And so that's what the whole argument of chapter 2 was. Live such a good life that it attracts others just by how you live. It's like how you raise your family is amazing. I want to learn how you do that. How do you and your husband just get along? Teach me how to do that. Right? Make the gospel attractive. We got to remember it's people we're trying to reach, even those who disagree with us. Amen. Jesus says, guys, you're fishers of men. That's your first priority. Right? That's your first priority. And you do that when you truly care about people. You're willing to listen. You're willing to be respectful and considerate and have a sweetness about you that people love to be around, all right? So here are some practical ways to just get involved in our community. Hey, my kids already go to school. Well, maybe volunteer there. They're like, eh. Well, why not, right? Put in a little extra time here and there. The teachers will love you. That makes sense? So again, our goal is to be respectful, considerate, helpful, do whatever is good. Hey, whatever you need, I'm willing to do that, right? Volunteer at the fire department, police officers. I mean, they all kinds of need help during different moments of our city. Jail ministry, be part of city council, recovery ministry. Salvation Army always needs help. Vote. Hey, there's one. Responsible citizens, what? They vote. I can't tell you how many times they've told us in the past elections, we have this many people registered, nobody is voting anymore. And it's like, that's odd to me, right? Be responsible, even if they get a jury duty. It's like, oh man, should I? Yes, be a responsible citizen. They need Christians in there to have a voice on matters, all right? Pick out an organization you love, right? Help get involved. Hospital volunteers, they always need volunteers too. Boys and Girls Clubs, my kids already go there, see what they need. Drug Coalition, pray for the city officials, nursing homes. I mean, it's just like fill in the blank, right? Fill in the blank. So I'm to take my faith to my family, to my children, to my church, into the community. Right? So many times we just keep our faith and we circle it in. It's like, well, what about so-and-so? What about the next door? What about our schools? We just keep our faith to ourselves. And Paul's like, if you want to be a standout citizen, a standout Christian, take your faith everywhere you go. Amen. Everywhere you go. All right, lastly here, last slide. Again, just to remind them, Paul says, our mission is to preach and share the gospel of Christ so people's eternities can be changed. There is no greater mission in this world bigger than that when it comes to people's eternities. That makes sense? Politics goes a thousandth lower than that. Right? Politics is always going to change. But people's lives are fixed forever. We got to win people, right? Not make enemies. God established government for our good, so do good, right? Be a good citizen and make the gospel attractive. Paul was in Philippians 1. He was given a report to the church there about how he was doing. You know, it's like, hey, I'm here in Rome because of the chains for preaching Jesus. And you can read the book of Acts that gives you the backdrop to all of that. So he was being unjustly treated as well because, again, in the culture, you got to understand the culture. They were preaching Jesus is king, right? And not bowing the knee to the emperor, Nero, because they worshipped men as gods. The Greek mythology, Roman mythology, all fell into the culture and government of Rome, right? And so they were saying, hey, Jesus is Lord, Caesar is not. So you were denouncing that, hey, I'm not going to worship a man, I'm going to worship the God-man, Jesus Christ, who raised from the dead. And so that difference in that culture made a huge divide between them. We got to understand that. And so Paul was preaching this opposing message and saw people's lives changed, saw cities changed, right? And so he's in jail in Philippians chapter 1, and he says, hey, I'm just going to give you an update. Oh, and by the way, the house of this whole palace guard and this family here has heard about Jesus, all because God brought me to Rome, and they've come to hear what I have to say. And Paul's like, that's pretty cool. If I have to go through all this suffering and unjustness to get to Rome, be on house arrest, but now I'm going to use this opportunity to share Jesus with the palace guards, and they go and tell government families of why I'm here. I was like, oh, Paul's here? We've heard about Paul. He goes and tells them about Jesus. They get saved. Amen. And he's like, well, if my chains mean the spreading of the gospel, then bring on the chains. Right? But he was thankful he got free. But it's like, wow. He's like, one family, this palace guard, God brought me here for a reason. He put me through this for a reason. I don't know how many times I've heard people have to go into hospitals, go through different things, and they share the nurse or the doctor what's going on. And they get an opportunity to share Jesus with them. It's like, why did God allow me to go through this, face this, so I can give an opportunity to share Jesus to people? What I'm praying for. Huh. Same scenario, right? Let's be a people who care about our city, care about our community. Amen? That's what Paul is saying. Remind them, constantly remind them to be this kind of citizen. It's going to make the gospel do amazing things when we're just a people who want to do good and be good, right? And we get along with others. All right? Our policy here is, hey, we're not afraid to talk about politics, but we talk about him more than anything else. Amen? We pray for those over us. So let's just take a moment to do that as the praise team comes up. Let's all stand and pray together. So we pray for our country, pray for our city. So Father in heaven, we thank you for living in such an amazing country. Lord, we are thankful people. Lord, we lift up our leaders, Lord, our president. We lift up our cabinet, our house, our senators, our governors, our mayors, our sheriff's department, Lord, our fire chiefs all across this land. Lord, we pray for wisdom and courage to handle the things that come across their way. Lord, we know that their situations aren't always easy, what they face, what they have to deal with. So we pray for a protection around them as well. Lord, we pray for strength for this journey as well. And so, Lord, just give them a kindness, Lord, a wisdom that's from above to handle the things that they handle. Lord, our country needs you desperately. It needs you terribly. Lord, our world needs you. And Lord, we need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit on this whole planet. Lord, just as you hovered over the waters in Genesis chapter 1, oh, Holy Spirit, hover over us again and be poured out upon us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to walk in your Spirit from here on out this week, just to be in love with you and enjoy you. And Lord, whenever opportunities come our way, help us just to do good to those around us, to be like you, just going out doing good. Lord, we pray for those who are in this room, maybe struggling. Lord, we pray for healing for them, whether it's mentally, physically, or spiritually. Lord, if anyone here doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we pray that they would take that moment right now and say, you know what, I'm going to bow the knee to Jesus today. In my heart, I want to receive him into my life. I know he's the true King, and I want to submit to him first and foremost. I want to be like him. I want to live like him. And so if that's you today, you've never accepted Jesus, but you want to today, just raise your hand. I would just encourage you just to raise your hand. Any, that's me. That is me today. I want Jesus in my life. Amen. Thank you for that. Lord, we commit this whole service, this whole day to you. We love you. And Lord, we just can't wait to see you one day. And Lord, we can't wait, as Isaiah 9 says, the government will be on Jesus' shoulders one day, and he will be king over the whole earth. But until then, Lord, help us be standout citizens for your sake and for the gospel's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.